We're sort of all over the map here. What's the point I want to be making right now?
I have no idea, man.
Okay.
It was all a dream. I used to read Word Up magazine. Salt and pepper and Heavy D up in the limousine. Hanging pictures on my wall. Every Saturday, rap attack, Mr.
It
Magic
is January 1995, and you are listening to a podcast in January 1995.
Even though they exist in 1995, this one does.
Defying everything that you preconceived. So stop preconceiving. We're going to exclusively talk about...
No, we're going to talk about more than just one thing.
We're going
But we got an advanced copy of Sports Illustrated with a... what's his name? Phil? No.
Phil Taylor.
Phil Taylor wrote an article on the cover of this week's Sports Illustrated. And what did it say, Matthew?
Wah!
Starring Derek Coleman. And why is Derek Coleman a baby, according to Phil Taylor?
Phil Taylor is absolutely... Here we are in January 1995, and Phil Taylor is absolutely positively huffing about Derek Coleman for being a spoiled athlete who doesn't practice, sets a poor example for his teammates.
But Derek Coleman's just one part of
this. A man of amazing
gifts. And
Phil
Taylor is also the person that wrote an article a few years ago talking about how a woman needed to be a coach in the NBA, at least an assistant, which...
He also
was an interesting article. He's not that much of a shitbag, but he comes off as one in this article.
He also wrote an article about how there needs to be a women's college basketball coach. So this is maybe sort of a...
Right. Well, because Pitino hired... He talked about the Stanford woman, who's still at Stanford. This was a few years ago, but this was Vandermeer?
Tara Vanderveer.
Right, Tara Vandermeer. And, she's still at Stanford. But Pitino did have that female assistant coach.
Right. We all remember that back in 92.
So I think that will happen some way. But regardless, so what
Phil
will not
Taylor
happen...
Maybe Phil is not a total curmudgeon who hates everything that's changed.
But he hates it when players... He hates the Nets, pretty obviously.
Phil Taylor cannot
Chris Morris not tying his shoes?
Enough bad things about the New Jersey Nets right now.
Kenny Anderson, he really likes to talk about car problems. We agree on this. He's a shitbag.
They are admittedly an underachieving team. Basically, the gist of the article, though, is... So Taylor, rattles off all these current NBA stars or pseudo-stars or potential stars that he, laments. And
juxtaposes them against things that Steve Kerr says about good teammateship.
Right, and, the wholesome, marginal white athlete says, X and Taylor agrees with it. So basically it's like Coleman's a jerk, Kenny Anderson's a jerk, J.R. Ryder of the Timberwolves is a jerk.
Well, J.R. Ryder is a jerk, but...
Latrell Sprewell of the Warriors is a jerk. Chris Webber, now of the Bullets, is a jerk.
I can't believe they didn't fine Sprewell for putting the numbers on his shoes of Owens and Chris Webber after they were traded, and they freaked out about him, whatever the fuck. Something much less than that, which is way more subversive.
The Owens-Webber numbers, that was a gesture of loyalty and friendship. I don't see what's wrong with that.
I can't. I mean, I'm not saying he was wrong with it, but to let that go, I mean... You're going to end up with a fine with a player doing more than that. I mean, you can't let a guy out on the court wearing teammates or former teammates' numbers who now play for other teams.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. So, I mean, do you think Phil Taylor had a point? Do you think that... So, basically, I mean, the implication is that, in the 80s, basketball rose from, this league of, cocaine-addled playground sociopaths to, a sport that we could, bring home to mom and dad. And Magic and Larry Bird and Michael Jordan were saintly and, things are,
Yeah, well, there's less
cool.
Larry Bird now. That's kind of the point.
And so, I mean, do you think he has a point that the stars of today in their attitude and approach are somehow inferior to the players in the 1980s?
No, I don't, but I think he has a point that the Nets are fucked up. And where's your MVP, Derek Coleman? I mean, 2010's good, but he's not blowing anybody out of the water.
Derek Coleman is blowing himself out of the water.
He does not want to wear a tie on planes. That's the issue.
Derek Coleman has presented the New Jersey Nets ownership with a blank check so they can fine him for every time he violates the team dress code by not dressing up for away games. This is a guy, you know, Syracuse All-American.
Number one overall
pick. A man of such tremendous gifts. He can put the ball on the floor. He can rebound.
Your MVP pick, block I shots. Believe, for this year.
All right, Chris. I think you mentioned that. But, you know, he's in a bad situation. He seems to sort of, people are saying that
who's
Coleman,
the Nets? Wait, who's the Nets coach?
Butch Beard.
Oh, Jesus.
he opened a chain of Long John Silver's restaurants in the New Jersey area after doing play-by-play with Marv Albert in the 1980s on Knicks games. Butch Beard is coaching what, you know, Coleman and Anderson.
Do you
Anderson,
think it's Beard's fault? Do you think Beard has lost this team?
Butch Beard does not have the command over the young players of today's NBA that a Chuck Daly did.
Right.
Unfortunately, Beard is replacing Chuck Daly.
Which is very unfortunate because this team could really use Chuck Daly.
So this team's pretty fucked, as you already pointed out. I mean, I think the problem is, I mean, like, the you know, last year at this point we're saying, you know, I mean, last year the Nets suffered the tragedy of losing Drazen Petrovic.
Mm-hmm.
They were still a good team because they had Kenny Anderson and Derek Coleman, and people were saying, well, these guys might be the Eastern Conference version of Stockton Malone. And, you know, I mean, the talent's there, but they're not, neither of these guys, you know, I think that there is, I'm, you know, hesitant to agree with Phil Taylor, but neither of these guys seem to have, you know, the approach that it takes to be a great NBA player. I mean, both of these guys.
Phil Taylor has a point, you know, but he doesn't have a point. But at the end, he talked about how Scottie Pippen's 1.8 sit down last year. He just mentioned it. But do you think that Scottie Pippen's sit down sort of inspired a little bit more of this, or was it Larry Johnson's commercials?
I think it's unfair to blame Scottie Pippen's sit down last year. I think you really need to blame Shaquille O'Neal, his movie Blue Steel.
Wait, is it Blue Steel? Because Blue Steel, I think, is a totally different movie.
Oh, wait, Blue Steel is with
Jamie
Lee Curtis.
You're just talking about Steel. Yeah, don't confuse Catherine Bigelow movies with Steel.
That's actually, Blue Steel is something totally different. Anyway, I really blame Shaquille O'Neal for a lot of this because he made it okay
to break backboards.
To break backboards. I don't know. I guess my sense is that, you know, there is a lot with the money, that the immediate money that some of these rookies get. There might.
When
be,
is the next contract up? The
well,
whatever
the collective,
CBA? Yeah.
So the collective bargaining agreement expires in 95. And
man, there's going to be a super strike.
You can guarantee.
This is already festering. Like,
I think what there
season.
Might be is a lockout because the owners are going to say, look, we are not going to agree to another collective bargaining deal.
That was the other thing I thought was interesting in the Taylor article when he listed everyone's salaries. He's like, this guy makes $800,000 a year. I'm like, really? That's all he makes?
Yeah.
And he won't tie his shoes for his coach? It's like, you know, yeah, we're in for a missed year, I think.
This could be a missed year. This is a turning point for the league. No Magic, no Michael, no Larry. You know, maybe, I mean, the most dominant player right now, I don't know if this sags into something we want to sag into, but maybe the most dominant player right now and sort of a void transitional time for the league is Shaquille O'Neal. I mean, Orlando is, you know.
Let's take a break right there. Hold on. There we go. The most dominant player in the league.
The most dominant player in the league right now, you know, might be Shaquille O'Neal.
It's absolutely. The Magic are tearing things up. I mean, he's not as doing as well as leading vote getter in the West for guards, Dan Marley.
Yeah.
Who's gonna miss out on that?
Thunder Dan.
I mean, it would be Richmond and Sprewell. Otherwise, one of them will probably get in. But the Dan Marley is going to start. We've been really disappointed in Golden State this year because we both thought great things. But Don Nelson is a tool and has no idea what he's doing with that team. And it's disappointing we get to see Dan Marley. Are you worried about Reggie Miller yet? He's right on the brink of not being in the All-Star game.
He's throwing a lot at me. Am I worried Reggie Miller won't be out? So who are the leading vote getters in the East right now?
The leading vote getters in the East.
We have All-Star fever already here on Sean Kemp Redemption. How's Sean Kemp doing in the All-Star voting?
He's doing great.
Yeah? Is it going to be Kemp and Barkley as the Western Conference forwards?
Mashburn right behind. And right now, Mark Price.
Mark Price!
If
you didn't hear that.
Beat Reggie Miller. Joe Dumars is right there.
Who's the leading vote getter among Eastern Conference guards right now?
Penny! Penny and Shaq. Whose team is it right now?
This is the Magic season so far.
Yeah, I mean, you couldn't bet against the Magic to win everything right now. Would you take the Suns to beat the Magic?
The Suns and the Magic are obviously the cream of the crop right now. Penny, you know, I mean,
Who's a bigger star right now, Penny or Grant Hill?
Penny. Because Grant Hill's team is crap. I mean, Grant Hill...
That's true.
The league is feverishly marketing Grant Hill. Granted, Nike is feverishly marketing Penny Hardaway right now, but at this point, Hardaway is much... I mean, he's
There's probably
he's pretty relevant.
Close to relative money going into them. And back to the Phil Taylor shit.
He's,
I mean, holding up Grant Hill as his idol, it's the exact same thing I was worried and annoyed about at the beginning of the season. Grant Hill, leading vote-getter among forwards in the East.
People see Grant Hill and they see someone who is not Derek Coleman, and this really excites them. But, you know, Grant Hill, for all his hype, is a great young player with many skills, but he's not good enough to, rescue his team from being a bad team. You know, right now, I know it's heresy, I would put Jason Kidd as my rookie of the year so far.
I mean, I'm with you. I'll take anybody with Grant Hill. It's fine with me.
I mean... Anyway, Reggie Miller. The Pacers are doing well. I mean, Miller's concerned about team goals right now.
Pacers are doing kind of okay.
I mean, Reggie Miller, he's looking okay. As good as Reggie Miller can look, and
how's Person been this year?
How's whom?
Chuck Person been doing this year?
Chuck Person, Reggie Miller is doing better than Chuck Person, but Chuck Person is making a significant contribution to the San Antonio Spurs this year. If you were to point the proverbial gun to my head, proverbially we're speaking, I'm 12 years old, but if you were to point the proverbial gun to my head, I would say that Shaquille O'Neal is, you know, my MVP right now.
Okay, and who would you take in the West for center? You want Akeem or do you want Robinson?
I mean...
Right now Akeem is the leading vote getter.
I would take Akeem, but I mean... You know, honestly, Robinson has had just as good of a regular season with arguably a crummier supporting cast.
Sean Elliott.
Sean Elliott is having...
I told you! Sean Elliott!
A redemptive season with the Spurs. You know, they might have to make a movie called The Sean Elliott Redemption after the season that the former Arizona University Stars has been having with the Spurs this year.
All right, well, at this point in the season, just give me a prediction. Who's in the finals? You have the Magic.
I think that the Orlando Magic are in the finals right now just because they're playing a couple notches better than everyone ever.
They're fucking amazing.
Okay.
No one's going to beat the Magic. Playing, you don't even need... All right, you have the Magic. That's a gimme. Who do you have in the West?
Pacers, significantly to the degree that it overcomes their lack of experience. In the Western Conference, I like the Suns are the cream so far. The Rockets have struggled. The Jazz looking good, but you know, one only has, you know, I mean, look at their past playoff performances. I'm dubious with the Jazz.
Sonics, that's one.
The Sonics.
Yeah, Scary Payton. Payton
has stepped up his game yet again
this year.
Payton is a threat to score 20 points, dish out 10 assists, play clamp down defense any night right now. I don't know. I don't see why the Sonics this year are different than the Sonics team last year.
I think they're going to get bored enough of George Karl and yell at him enough that they're just going to fucking play basketball and it'll work out. Karl's already had griefs with other players. Taylor mentioned that as well.
Phil Taylor. The writer of our times. Nobody chronicles the lost generation of NBA players better than Phil Taylor. Yeah, so I guess, you know, I'm going the safer bet, Phoenix and Orlando in the finals.
And Phoenix, how many games does Orlando win in?
Yeah, I see Orlando winning
five?
Right now. I would say Orlando in seven. Phoenix is a weird team right now. On the one hand, they're winning a lot. But on the other hand, they're shuffling their lineup in and out. Danny Manning looking really good right now.
Yeah.
Though I guess he's best as six man. KJ, for me, you know, I have a soft spot in my heart for Kevin Johnson.
He's been good this year.
But he's been injured. They've been playing Elliot Perry at the point guard. You know, they've been, you know, for a team known, you know, a team that's staked its reputation throughout, you know, the last few years on its backcourt scoring, they've been playing much of this year with the starting backcourt of Elliot Perry and Wesley Person. And, you know, that is...
How many games has KJ missed?
KJ has already missed about 25 games.
That's a lot of games.
It's many games. Because we are only about 37 games into the season.
Yeah. All right.
So, I don't know. I mean, this is an interesting season so far. I feel like... I like the vibes of this season better than the vibes of last season. There were just too many, like, you know, MJ retiring aftershock vibes. This year is more of... It's a looser vibe. We got this new emerging powerhouse in Orlando... I like the vibe more.
I'm glad you like the vibe, Matthew. Is there anything else about the vibe you'd like to comment on?
Yes, Vibe magazine has just premiered, and I see Vibe as, you know, a legitimate competitor with XXL and The Source, which has been around now for 6 years. So we wanted to talk about Mark Price, because...
I thought I already brought him up.
Okay. and let's keep it that way, because
and that's it.
Mark Price is injured, and so Terrell Brandon is getting the minutes he deserves.
Can't
right.
shoot free throws like Price. Say it.
He can shoot free throws like Price.